No Commitments by Simon Brett, starring Rosemary Leach as Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. Episode 4, One Gets Better.
And how's the work going, Emily?
Oh, it's hard, but I hope I'm getting there.
Her teachers are extremely pleased, Anna. Much better results in her mocks than they'd expected.
Well, you have been working hard.
Trying to.
And Quentin's still working hard, too?
Oh, yes. Trouble is, I think he's more naturally academic than I am. He'll sail into Oxford, whereas with
Don't worry. I mean, there are other universities.
But not other universities where Quentin will be. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure it'll all work out.
Yes, we're praying that it will.
Well, I'd have thought that... Oh. You mean, really, actually praying?
Of course.
Yes. Of course.
Look, if you'll excuse me, I'd better get on with some work.
You run along.
Don't stay up too late.
No. Nice to see you, Anna.
Yes, bye. You too, love. Bye.
Well, so, what do you think of my model daughter, then?
I find it a bit spooky, to be quite honest, Victoria. I mean, clearly it is Emily, but somehow it doesn't feel like Emily. It's like a sort of automated clone of the old Emily I knew and loved. An Emily with a nerve taken out.
You just remember how much worry and aggravation the old Emily you knew and loved used to give her mother.
Yes, well. Do you think it'll last?
What?
Emily zombieing around at half power. It's as if she's on drugs.
She certainly isn't. She's on religion.
Ah, yes, the opium of the people.
What?
It's just something Karl Marx said.
Really? Lucky Roger's not here.
Why?
I don't think he'd approve of Marxism being preached in this house.
I wasn't preaching. I was simply
saying... You exaggerate about Emily anyway, Anna. I don't think what's happening with her is a phase. I think she's settled down. She's finally found a personality she feels at ease with.
I hope she hasn't.
Why not?
Well, it's not a personality I feel at ease with. And go on, be honest, you can't really say it's one you feel at ease with, can you?
It's certainly one that makes my life easier.
Now, that's the answer to a different question.
Oh, never mind. I just can't tell you the relief of not having a daughter around who's adversarial all the time.
Well, Emily was fairly adversarial last time I talked to her.
What about?
Her godless parents. What agony it was growing up in an entirely heathen environment.
Oh, yes. Well, she seems to have calmed down a bit about that.
Oh, you mean she no longer thinks you're heathens?
No, no, she still thinks we're heathens. But she's decided that living with heathens is a test of her faith, part of her spiritual development.
Ah, that's handy. So Emily's acting as a sort of missionary in a foreign land to you, is that it?
Yes, but she's no longer an aggressive... proselytizing missionary.
No?
No. Now she is trying to bring Roger and me to the ways of righteousness by example.
Ah.
So she behaves awfully well in the hope that we will thereby see the error of our ways. And what we get out of it is a frightfully well-behaved daughter.
And no obligation to do anything.
Exactly. No, I must say, it's made life in the Franklin household wonderfully relaxed. Everything is going marvellously well for us.
Including you and Roger?
Including me and Roger? There have never been any problems between me and Roger.
No, no, of course not. And no problems with Harriet or Benji?
I've never had any problems with Harriet or Benji. Emily's always been the difficult one from the moment of her birth. And now she's sorted out...
Or lobotomized.
Oh, don't be melodramatic, Anna. No, all I'm saying is that... at the moment, life is extremely sorry. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Franklin speaking. Oh, hello, Mrs. Nixon.
What? Harriet?
Every little plastic bag, it's good. It's
all right. Harriet, switch that television off at once. Oh, you are in disgrace, young lady, and that is no time to be watching television. Don't you sigh at me, Harriet. I'm your mother.
So?
And your father has something to say to you.
Where is he, then?
What? He was right behind me when I...
Roger! Where are you?
Sorry, just topping up my drink.
Right, let's all sit down, shall we? Sit, Harriet, not slump.
Oh, it's all right, Roger, you can start.
Sorry?
You had something to say to Harriet.
Oh, yes, right. Now, your mother's told me what happened at school today.
So?
Well...
And your father is deeply unamused about it, aren't you, Roger?
Deeply.
The fact that Mrs. Nixon had to ring and tell me. You were shocked by that, weren't you, Roger?
I'll say.
You knew you were breaking school rules, Harriet. Your father knows you knew you were breaking school rules.
Yeah. Hmm.
And needless to say, he has strong views on the subject of rules.
What? Oh, yeah, too right, yeah. Rules are designed to be obeyed. That's why we have rules. That's what they're there for.
Yes, and you knew full well, Harriet, that it was against school rules to have concealed in your school bag a bottle of alcoholic lemonade. Now, come on, didn't you? That's what your father is asking, isn't it, Roger?
Oh, yes, certainly.
You can't deny you knew it was against the rules, can you?
No.
So, what she did was wrong, wasn't it, Roger?
Wrong, no question.
The only thing wrong was that I got caught.
How can you say that?
Yes, how can you say that?
Easy, just by moving my lips.
Harriet, how dare you?
Yeah, yeah, it's all right, Victoria, I'll handle this.
Very well, Roger. Well?
So, what have you got to say for yourself, young lady, hmm?
Nothing. Don't know why you're making such a big deal of it.
It is a big deal.
No. All the girls have the stuff.
But it's a private school.
All that means is that the girls have more money to buy things. I was just unlucky that Mrs. Nixon found mine. It's not important.
It is important. We are talking about alcohol.
That special subject.
It was extremely rude.
Extremely true, too.
Roger, say something.
Yes. Yes. Right,
I don't know why you're getting so steamed up about this. When Emily was my age, she was found with a bottle of vodka in her school bag.
What difference does that make?
Between vodka and alcoholic lemonade? Oh, about 60% proof.
There is no need for pert answers from you, Harriet. Yes, all right. Emily's behaviour back then was not perfect, but you could do very well to take a leaf out of her book right now, young lady. Her behaviour is exemplary now.
Right. So you shouldn't worry about me, should you?
What?
Well, if Emily was found with a bottle of vodka and she's turned out all right, then I'm going to be fine. Because with me, it was only a bottle of alcoholic lemonade, wasn't it? See you.
Harriet!
Well, I thought I handled that pretty well, actually. You know, firm but fair.
You know, I think what's upset Victoria so much is that Harriet was always the good one.
Oh, yes.
Emily was always the rebel, and butter wouldn't melt in Harriet's mouth. And Benji was a boy, so that's different.
Mm. Oh, well, now Emily's going round the house doing Mother Teresa impressions all day. I suppose Harriet was honour-bound to take up the mantle of enfant terrible. Nature abhors a vacuum.
Oh, me too. I can't stand housework.
No, Charlotte.
It's all agonisingly familiar to me, as you can imagine.
What's agonisingly familiar?
This business of there being only a good one and a bad one. It's something I just had to cope with when I was growing up. You and Victoria were always held up to me as the good ones, and I was always the bad one.
You told me you were always the pretty one.
Well, that too, of course, obviously. But these things just happen in families. Endless comparisons. Mm. That's why I'm rather glad, in a way, that Giselle's an only child. It avoids all that backbiting. No, well, it's always the same. The kids who show no personality at all, who toe the line, they're the good ones. Whereas any child who has anything like a free spirit...
As you were.
...is just eternally blamed for everything because they don't fit in. Their childhood is complete misery.
Oh, my recollection of your childhood isn't one of complete misery. I'd have said you were spoilt rotten.
Ah, that's how it may have looked on the outside. But deep down, you know, I was suffering.
You seemed always to get everything you wanted.
The tragedy of the young is that very often they don't know what they want.
Hmm.
Oh, I'm not sure these chimichangas were a good idea.
No. Well, aren't they, Emma?
Hmm. Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm more worried about Emily than I am about Harriet.
Can't see why. Little Miss Prigg has got God to look after her, not to mention the extraordinarily wholesome Quentin.
But that's it. Emily and Quentin. Well, they don't seem to have much fun together. It's all so correct and righteous. They only meet about one evening a week because they're both working so hard for their A-levels, and then more often than not it's to go to a Bible study group.
I admit that's not how I'd want to spend my time. Ah. According to Victoria, everything's perfect with Emily.
Except that she isn't Emily.
Whereas Harriet, simply because she's demonstrating a little individuality, can do no right at all in her mother's eyes.
No.
Maybe I should do my auntly duty and have a little word with Harriet.
Come in.
Hi, Emily.
What do you want, Harriet?
Just to have a word, if you don't mind.
What about?
I'm not stopping you working, am I?
Yes. What did you want to talk about?
Well, it's just the way Mummy and Daddy are behaving.
Well, they're not behaving any differently to the way they always have. Just continuing their usual materialistic, godless, selfish existence.
They're behaving differently towards me.
Well, that's only because your behaviour towards them has changed. You're no longer the little goody-goody, you see, Harriet.
I'm just being myself, that's all.
Hmm.
But they're being so horrid to me. I feel kind of isolated.
Oh?
And I thought maybe you could help me.
How?
Well, I don't know. Just talking or... I mean, you've been through it.
Been through what?
I'm not getting on with Mummy and Daddy.
You can say that again. So what are you after? A bit of sisterly bonding?
I suppose. Something like that. I'm not sure.
Listen, Harriet, you and I have never been that close to each other, have we?
Well...
We've never had very much in common.
Well, perhaps not.
You hear of these families where everyone gets on wonderfully and teenage sisters go off clubbing together and all that?
Yes.
But ours isn't one of them.
Emily.
And the fact that you're now going through a stage I went through a couple of years ago doesn't do anything to bring us closer. Because I'm different now. I've changed. I'm no longer like I was 2 years ago.
No, that's certainly true. Now you're just a stuck-up prig, aren't you?
I'm a Christian, if that's what you mean. And I'm certainly not ashamed of being a Christian.
Oh, no, I'm sure you're not. And it's all thanks to Quentin, isn't it? He's really slimy, you know, Quentin is.
Since I'm the one who's going out with him, Harriet, I'll be the judge of that, thank you very much.
And he's got another girlfriend.
You're just being childish.
I'm not. He has got another girlfriend. I heard two of the upper six talking about him in the changing rooms.
Fine. I must say I'm surprised, Harriet.
Surprised at what?
Surprised at you being so jealous of me and Quentin.
Jealous?
You know... If you really took God into your heart, you'd stop being worried by childish emotions like jealousy.
So that would be your advice to me, would it? That I should become a Christian?
That would be my advice to anyone.
Well, thanks for nothing, Emily.
Hello.
Anna!
Victoria? What on earth's the time?
It's 7:15. Listen, I've just been into Harriet's bedroom to wake her up for school, and she's not there.
What?
Her bed hasn't been slept in. She must have been out all night.
Good heavens. Have you rung the police?
What?
Rung the police?
No!
Why not?
Well, I don't want them thinking we're the kind of family who can't control their children.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Victoria, get onto them straight away and... No, don't do anything for the time being. I'll call you back in 5 minutes, all right?
But Anna... Hello?
Good morning, Charlotte. It's Anna.
Ah.
And would I be right in assuming that Harriet's with you?
Well, yes, she is, as it happens. She arrived in the middle of the night, poor little lamb. And I couldn't turn her away, could I?
You could, on the other hand, have told Victoria and Roger where she was.
I was going to. It's all right. I was just about to. I didn't reckon they'd notice she wasn't there till they got up. And anyway, Harriet begged me not to tell them where she was. She says they're both being so horrid to her at the moment. She just needs a bit of time to chill out.
Chill out?
Chill out.
And why did Harriet come to you? She, of all Victoria's children, has always been resistant to your winsome charms.
People change.
Oh.
I don't know why you're getting at me so much, Anna. All I've done is offer the hand of friendship to a poor, confused child.
Yes, it's how you offered it, though. I bet you actually suggested to Harriet that she should run away to you.
I just told her that if ever she needed a shoulder to cry on, if she needed the listening ear of someone whose experience of life goes beyond the bourgeois confines of Beckenham, then she only had to...
I get the picture. Charlotte, Victoria must be told immediately where Harriet is. She'll be going frantic.
I was just about to.
Well, shall I phone her or will you?
Well...
All right, I'll do it. And I would assume that someone would be arriving at your flat in the course of the day to pick Harriet up.
Oh, please try and stop Victoria from coming, Anna. Harriet doesn't need to be treated like a naughty schoolgirl at the moment, and I don't think I feel strong enough to cope with all that recrimination.
Well, I don't see why Harriet's own mother shouldn't... No. No, I think you could be right. I'll try to see that it isn't Victoria who comes.
Oh, and could you...
Goodbye, Charlotte.
I'm not happy about it, Roger.
Mm.
Roger, I said I am not happy about it.
Yeah.
Roger!
Yes?
I said I'm not happy about it.
Ah.
You do know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Well,
I sometimes wonder if there's any point in my ever opening my mouth. It often seems that you'd be much happier if I never said another word.
Roger! Look, quite honestly, old thing, if I gave my full attention to you every time you said you weren't happy about something, well, I'd never do anything else.
Oh, I see. So I'm always complaining, am I?
No. It does just seem that there are a lot of things in this life that you're not happy about.
The world is an imperfect place. That's not my fault, is it?
Well, of course not.
And I am not happy about what's happening with Harriet. I really think you and I should be picking her up from Charlotte's.
Well... I don't go along with you on that. I think Emily going will defuse the situation. Harriet, for reasons best known to herself, sees us as the enemy at the moment. No, I think it was a good idea of Anna's.
Oh, really? Harriet's our daughter. Anna's never had any children. What does she know about bringing them up?
Well, she's got a lot of common sense, and she doesn't get as frenetic about the whole business as you do.
Frenetic? Are you saying the upbringing I've given our children has been frenetic?
Well, every now and then.
Ha!
Apart from anything else, I'm quite glad to see Emily going out for an evening, whatever the reason. All this intensive A-level revision can't be good for her.
Well, I think it's excellent for her. And it'll continue as long as she's with Quentin, which is all very satisfactory.
Yes, except that she so rarely is with Quentin. His sole aim in life seems to be to keep her sitting alone at home behind a desk all the time. They meet for Bible study group one evening a week and possibly church on a Sunday. That's not my idea of a relationship.
No. But your idea of a relationship was always rather basic, wasn't it, Roger?
You never complained.
No, well, I was a lot younger then.
Yeah, anyway, now I've heard what you had to say, Victoria, and agreed with you about it, can I get back to watching the golf?
I'm not stopping you, am I?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not happy about it, though.
Sometimes one feels it's one's destiny as a woman just to be hurt, hurt, and hurt again. Oh, of course, love affairs do have their highs, their wonderful, heady moments when you could take on the entire universe and win. But underscoring it all, there's always a counter-melody of melancholy. It's our lot, I'm afraid, Harriet. It's just part of what being a woman involves. Love is a fragile flower that cannot survive long against the chill winds of this cynical world. And even when love is going well, when one is loved, prized, even worshipped, no woman can forget that daily her charms are fading. You get up in the morning and you see a deeper wrinkle etched into your face. And I don't need to tell you what every woman knows instinctively.
I don't find any deeper wrinkles. I am only 15, you know.
Yes, but even at that age, one is aware of the galloping of Anno Domini. I know I was. Wasn't it Shakespeare who wrote, "But ever at my back I hear time's winged chariot hurrying near"?
No, it was Marvel, actually.
What?
Andrew Marvel, to his coy mistress. We've just done it at school.
Oh.
And he actually wrote, "But at my back I always hear," not "But ever at my back I hear."
Ah, well...
Anyway, that doesn't change my point. I'm talking about love and its fragility, its evanescence. Don't you find, when you're in love...
I haven't been in love. I haven't had a boyfriend.
But surely you have worshipped from afar.
Worship? What, a boy? Most of the boys I know are dead stupid.
Yes, and sometimes it's their very stupidity, their immaturity that makes them so appealing.
Not to me, it doesn't.
Oh, well, I'm sure that in a little while you will find that... Will this be Victoria, puffed up with self-righteousness, coming to collect you? Do you want to move that wine bottle out of sight?
I don't give a stuff whether she sees it or not.
Oh, well, after you.
Hey! Hi, Charlotte. I've come to get her. Oh, but I thought Victoria would...
Oh, hi, sis.
Emily, I thought Mummy would have come.
Well, I've come. And I wanted to say you were right.
What?
About Quentin.
What about him?
The two-timing bastard has got another girlfriend.
Wow.
Oh, Emily, you poor darling. Can I get you a drink?
Oh, some of this will do fine.
Emily, darling.
No, Quentin thought I was safely out of the way. Never occurred to him I'd be anywhere other than sweating over my revision. He was actually on the train with her, going up to London. Train I caught. Hands all over each other they had.
Oh, Emily. It must have been such a blow to your confidence. You must have been so hurt.
Not half as hurt as he was. I had a bottle of scent in my bag, and I hit him over the head with it.
Really?
Yeah. It shattered into tiny pieces. Cut his nose, which started bleeding all down his girlfriend's suede jacket. It was fantastic. Take them both months to get the smell of scent out of their clothes. Oh, and the best thing was, as the stuff was dripping off him, I said... Still reckon you're the Lord's anointed, do you, Quentin?
Emily, I know you're in a state of euphoria at the moment, but soon your mood will change. A broken relationship is a broken relationship, and it takes its toll. I know what I'm talking about. I've suffered for love, you know, many times. So if you need a shoulder to cry on, if you need someone to talk to...
Are you suggesting I should talk to you?
Yes.
Take your advice about relationships?
Why not?
Because I have no desire ever to have any relationships like you've had, Charlotte.
Oh?
I'm not going to be kicked around by some man.
I've never been kicked.
Yes, you have. You glory in it. You always home in on these hopeless jerks, just so you can go into one of your martyred femme fatale routines. Well, I'm not going down your route in my life, Charlotte. I'm not going to end up as a sad old loser.
A what?
A sad old loser. Come on, Harriet. Let's be on our way.
Okay. Oh, I don't think I can really face Mummy and Daddy yet.
No, nor can I. Let's move.
But where are we going?
Yes, where are you going?
Out. Come on, Hattie. Bye, Charlotte.
Hello.
Anna, darling, it's me.
Charlotte, are you all right, love?
I just feel low.
Any reason?
No. It's just, you know.
It wasn't anything that Emily or Harriet said to you, was it?
Emily or Harriet? Good Lord, no. I've just been thinking about my life.
Ah.
And the men who've been in my life.
What, all of them?
It isn't numbers that count in relationships, you know, Anna. It's quality.
Well, yes, I'd always thought that, but you never really behaved as if you did.
I just think back over all the men I've known, and I ask myself, did I actually have a satisfying relationship with any of them?
You always claimed to at the time. In fact, you went on at great length about just how satisfying they were.
I didn't mean satisfying in that way. I didn't mean sex.
Perhaps you meant satisfactory,
Perhaps. Either way, I don't think I've had that kind of relationship ever. I mean, would you say I always home in on hopeless jerks, Anna?
Well...
Would you say I was a sad old loser? No. Of course I'm not, am I?
It's a matter of how you look at these things, really, isn't it?
No... I suppose it's really down to the sort of person you are.
Possibly.
I mean, and one just has to recognise that, doesn't one?
It's daft to pretend that one isn't the kind of person one is.
Daft.
And there are people out there who are destined to change the world by designing aeroplanes, or discovering a cure for cancer, or... And then there are people whose destiny is just to be good at sex.
You reckon?
Oh, yes. And if one is that kind of person, if one has that kind of destiny...
As you're telling me you do?
Yes, then you just have to embrace it.
And embrace anything else that comes along?
Hmm. Well, except for hopeless jerks, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
There's no way round it. It's a gift. And it's something I should glory in, rather than apologising for. No, thank you, Anna. What you've said has put it all in perspective for me.
I haven't said anything.
But as ever with you, it's not what you say. It's the way you say it. No, as you've pointed out, I've just got to reconcile myself to the fact.
What fact?
The fact that the only reason I was placed on this earth was to be a grand horizontal.
A what?
To drive men wild with desire.
Oh.
It's a tough job, Anna. Somebody's got to do it. Bye.
Go on then, Roger.
Yes.
Your father is extremely angry with both of you. Aren't you, Roger?
Oh, yes. No two ways about it. Extremely angry.
And he wants you to realize just how seriously he takes your behavior.
Absolutely.
You are still children, and while you live under this roof, you abide by the rules of this household. You don't go out to clubs all night and come back in taxis in the small hours, drunk out of your minds. Are you listening, Emily?
Yes, Mum.
Will you call me Mummy? Are you listening, Harriet?
Yes, Mum.
Harriet! Anyway, you don't do that sort of thing. What kind of an impression do you think it makes on the neighbours? Over to you, Roger. You tell them what you think of them.
Right.
You never thought that any daughters of yours would behave like that, did you, Roger?
No, I most certainly didn't.
You're angry and disappointed.
I am angry and disappointed.
And if anything like that ever happens again...
Yes, if anything does...
You will be forced to take more extreme measures of punishment.
I certainly will, so let that be the end of it.
Yes.
Can I just ask, Dad?
Huh?
What will be the more extreme measures of punishment you'll be taking?
Well, what did you actually have in mind, Victoria?
Hello.
Anna, it's me. I just wanted to bring you up to date.
It's all right, I heard.
Heard? How? It hasn't been in the papers, has it?
No, no, don't worry about that. Emily rang me.
Did she?
And it was the old Emily. Bolshy, argumentative, determined never to do any more work on her A-levels, seething with anger against Quentin, and it was wonderful to hear her.
That's as maybe. But I hope she at least sounded apologetic for what she'd done.
No, I wouldn't say she did.
How did she sound, then?
Well, I think the word I'd choose is ecstatic.
Ecstatic? Oh, no!
What?
Well, they were in this club all night.
What?
And it's in clubs that ecstasy and other drugs are...
Oh, no! No, I didn't mean that
this
sort of...
This is terrible. That any daughter of mine, that any daughters of mine... Maybe Harriet was involved, too.
Oh, God.
She's only 15, for heaven's sake. Oh, to think that my children are becoming government statistics. I thought we'd provided the kind of upbringing that... I wonder if Benji's involved, too. Now, that would be just too awful to contemplate. I mean, for people of our class to have to appear in court with all kinds of common riffraff would be...
In episode 4 of No Commitments, Rosemary Leach played Anna, Nicola Paget, Victoria, and Celia Imrie, Charlotte. Jonathan Coy played Roger, Lisa Coleman, Emily, and Kelda Holmes, Harriet. The music was composed by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Anne Jobson.